Now you can subscribe to our VIP podcast lineup within the Apple Podcast app using your Apple account. That's new as of March 2022. Just search PW Torch in your Apple Podcast app and you'll see the PW Torch Daily Cast logo show up. That's our free show that's been around forever. And also the PW Torch VIP podcast logo. There is a free show every week, so subscribe even if you don't plan to go VIP and get a sample of our VIP tier programming. But if you click subscribe, then you'll become a VIP member instantly with a 3-day free trial, after which your Apple account will be charged. So you don't need to take out your credit card, debit card, or go anywhere else. If you listen to our free shows on Apple Podcasts, you are 5 seconds away from being a VIP member with a 3-day free trial. So we invite you to check it out. That includes dozens of VIP shows throughout the week, including VIP versions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and podcasts and daily casts. All those episodes are presented to VIP members with ads and plugs removed, along with VIP exclusives like our post pay-per-view roundtables, the Wade Keller Hotline, The Fix with Todd and Wade, Everything with Rich and Wade, and many other VIP exclusive shows. Just search PW Torch within the Apple Podcasts app.
Welcome to this week's All Elite After Show. I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek. Andrew, hello. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I, again, want to apologize to people. I'm traveling again, so using a different audio setup, and unfortunately, the mic I brought isn't working. I think it's an adapter issue, so I'm on AirPods, not the greatest microphone, so I probably sound a little different. I probably sound like I'm in like some sort of alien spaceship.
That's just where I assumed you were right now, actually.
I kind of feel that way, to be honest with you. I got all the way here. My laptop only has USB-C adapter connections. And
oh, yeah.
I have a USB mic, and I brought an adapter, but the adapter seems to be not working because it's a headset. And I could hear you when I first called you, but you apparently could not hear me, which was not ideal when we're trying to have a conversation.
Yes. I can hear you now, though. I think we can still make out what you're saying.
We're going to power through. That's what we're going
to
do.
We're going to power through, yeah.
We're going to power through. We have to get to some emails, which let's just do that off the top, and then there's a couple of things we can hit on towards the end of the show. But let's go right to emails. It's one of our favorite parts of the show. You can email us, allelitafter@gmail.com. And up first is a regular emailer to the show, Zach in Texas. He says, hey, fellas, Tony Khan had to be heartened by the reaction that the Chicago crowd gave William Regal. They booed him and chanted, you effed up, get the F out. You couldn't ask for a better response from the crowd. It'll be interesting to see how Indy treats MJF, because MJF didn't speak last week. He will this week. Ricky Starks with his DDP-esque rib tape job is certainly a sympathetic babyface, so that should help. I never thought I'd live to see the day the crowd in Chicago would chant FCM Punk, but it happened. It did. But I wouldn't say the entire building was doing that either.
I didn't even catch that, actually.
I did catch a little bit of it, but it was kind of faint. But it was definitely there. Zach is right. It was definitely there.
Yeah, and not to, like, interrupt too much, but, like, that the CM Punk chants were a 10% of what I thought they were going to be. Like, you could only hear them during the entrance and, like, nothing else. So that was really surprising, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's credit to the guys in the ring that they got the crowd back pretty quickly, because it was definitely an F the Elite chant. Which I particularly enjoyed. But I think credit to the guys in the ring, including the Elite, for getting kind of everything back on page. I think that was one of the things that stood out, was the crowd was kind of all over the place at the beginning, which you could expect, but pretty quickly those six guys got them just into the match, which was, it's commendable.
Oh, for sure. And actually, I want to pick your brain, because I just want to make sure that we discuss this sometime tonight. I know we're way off track with this email, but how did you feel about their homages, or maybe like their winks and nods to the situation, like Omega biting the arm and biffing the buckshot?
Well, it's funny, because I wanted to go to that when we were done with the emails, Because I have
right on,
I have two theories, and I wanted to pick your brain on it, but it's going to be sort of a longer topic.
Okay, let's go back. We can come back to it.
Yeah, that's we're going to like Tarantino it. There's like a tease here, and then we're going to go on with the show. Then later, we're going to jump back into like a flashback.
I'm down.
But because I have kind of a longer form thought on that I actually wanted to get your opinion on. So.
Wow, this works well.
See, this is interwoven storylines throughout the show. The Elite, back to Zach here, the Elite certainly fanned the flames, but to their credit, I suppose, they also leaned into the heat they were getting from the crowd, and apparently, on the fly, threw in a bunch of unsubtle shots at Punk during game two of their best of seven with Death Triangle. Honestly, it was too much, and it took away from an otherwise great match. The women's division is suddenly quite strong, with the specter of Thunder Rosa removed. Jamie Hayter is free to have another banger with Toni Storm before feuding with Britt, which was nicely set up by Britt speaking for Jamie on the onstage interview with Renee. Jade's entered a feud with Bow Wow, which I don't really understand, but yeah, Jade Cargo is feuding with Bow Wow. And apparently your cat does not understand that either.
He was a foot away from my mic at most. I guess Bow Wow got him very upset.
He's very upset with it. Who can blame him? You know, cats and dogs don't want to get along.
No, apparently not.
As weird as it is to say, I think this could be big, and not just because of Bow Wow. At some point, it feels so funny saying Bow Wow. At some point, he's going to need a partner for the eventual mixed tag. The way I see it, Snoop discovered Bow Wow, and we all know who Snoop's cousin is. This could be a creative way to bring in Mercedes into AEW. Hunter's been in charge for months and still no sign of her there, so there's still a chance. In addition, Sheeta has a new psycho stalker. Athena and Mercedes Martinez are headed to a final battle, and Saraya needs a new rival. Five or six stories for a division that was once a laughingstock is impressive. he's ribbing me about my football team here, I think. Mike, I saw you calling for Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia, the offensive coordinator, I guess you could call him, of the Patriots. Saw you calling for Matt Patricia's job mid-game a couple weeks ago. Did he redeem himself on Thanksgiving? Or would you like to throw your ring in the hat and replace him as defensive coordinator? I'd replace him at seven. No, he redeemed himself a little bit. It was so weird watching the game on Thanksgiving because in the middle of the game, I was DMing with Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, and it dawned on me almost every wrestling person that I talk to on a regular basis, whether it's you or Wade or Jay, like they're all you guys are all from Minnesota. I apparently know quite a few people from Minnesota all of a sudden.
Yes, and I hear we won.
Yeah,
you did. That's all I know. I can't even rub it in because I don't know anything about the game. So, we won. I won.
Yes. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Zach has a $5 challenge for us, which is awesome because we love those. And he has another match, the match card.
Here we go.
This week's theme, though, is WWE SmackDown pay-per-views from 2004.
Okay. I was there. I was alive.
Okay. So I'm going to, what I'm going to do is to make this easier, I'm going to copy paste this into a notebook document, and then we can attack it from there. Okay. So these are all 2004, and the options are Armageddon, No Mercy, Great American Bash, Judgment Day, and No Way Out. Okay.
So here's the thing. I know one of them because I was there.
All right, then. All right, this is good. So Zach has done this for the last couple of weeks. Basically, he gives us the match card. If you're a first-time listener, we'll clue you in on what's going on here. He gives us the match card, and he gives us the show, but he leaves out the main event. So we have to try to match the match cards with the show without having the main event. I came up, too, Andrew, with a different way to read these, which I think is going to help. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the match card, and then we'll have the list of shows, and we'll try to match the show to the card. We did this the last first couple of weeks we've done this. We've tried to match the show. We had the show name and then trying to match that to what card, and I think it got confusing. So we'll just kind of go one card at a time and then match the show. So first card, John Cena versus Rene Dupree versus Booker T versus Rob Van Dam. Luther Reigns versus Charlie Haas. Rey Mysterio versus Chavo Guerrero. Kenzo Suzuki versus Billy Gunn. Sable versus Torrey Wilson. Mordecai versus Hardcore Holly and The Undertaker versus the Dudley Boys. It happened in 2004. Was it Armageddon, No Mercy, Great American Bash, Judgment Day, or No Way Out?
I think that was Great American Bash.
I think it was Great American Bash because I think, isn't that the one where The Undertaker buried Paul Bearer in concrete?
Yeah, I think so.
That was against the Dudleys, I think, and that was definitely a Great American Bash pay-per-view. So
I think it's considered one of the all-time worst WWE pay-per-views. Okay. Yeah.
Which one of these were you at, by the way?
I was at Judgment Day.
Okay.
It was at Minneapolis, yeah. Or
you'll,
St. Paul.
You'll know this one then right off the top as soon as we get to it. I don't know which one Judgment Day is, but I'm going to take your word for it right away.
Daily Cast listeners, thank you, first of all, for streaming the shows. Be sure you're subscribing. Just search PW Torch in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to pro wrestling podcasts. But while you're at it, if you're not yet, please subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast and Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Shows. Search Wade Keller and see two logos pop up, a blue one and a red one. The red logo, the post shows, cover Raw and SmackDown each week with a fast turnaround time of a couple hours after the shows end. And also, every Saturday, we present a flashback to our analysis from 5 years ago that week, covering Raw. Jason Palwell from ProWrestling.net joins me, and we analyze what happened on Raw 5 years ago. So check out that time capsule every weekend. The Blue Logo Show features the Thursday flagship, plus our first run interviews, our classic interviews, and our mailbag segments. So again, search Wade Keller and click subscribe to both the red logo and the blue logo.
Rod Van Dam and Rey Mysterio versus Rene Dupree and Kenzo Suzuki. Kurt Angle versus Santa Claus, Big Vito. That's a nice little hint, though. Basham Brothers versus Hardcore Holly and Charlie Haas. John Cena versus Jesus. Dawn Marie versus Miss Jackie. Big Show versus Kurt Angle. Mark Jindrak and Luther Reigns. And Funaki versus Spike Dudley. Okay.
Oh, wow.
The Santa Claus, Kurt Angle versus Santa Claus is the clue here, I think. That means it was probably towards the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would make the most sense. I think Armageddon was a December pay-per-view.
It was definitely a winter one, yeah. I'm cool with that one.
So that's where I'm going with that. I'm pretty sure Armageddon was a December pay-per-view because Judgment Day was – No Way Out, I think, was like February. Judgment Day was probably like May. No Mercy, I think, was like the early part of the fall, like September. If I'm remembering correctly. Armageddon, I think, was end of the year, which would put a Santa Claus match. Don't make sense.
I don't remember this at all.
I don't remember any of these matches, but I can kind of remember where the shows fell in the calendar for whatever reason.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. The next match card. Rikishi and Scotty Tuhati against the Basham Brothers and Shindiqua. Jamie Noble versus Nydia, the world's greatest tag team versus APA, Hardcore Holly versus Rhino, Chavo Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle versus John Cena versus The Big Show. And our options are No Way Out, Judgment Day, or No Mercy.
So it's got to be either No Way Out or No Mercy. That's not Judgment Day.
Okay. So it's either No Way Out or No Mercy.
Oh, gosh.
I don't even have a particular guess on this.
I don't either.
Oh, hold on. Let's see. WrestleMania 2004 would have been 19. What were some of the matches from WrestleMania in 2004? Because if No Way Out was right before WrestleMania, which I think it was, that may give us some clues.
So is that WrestleMania 19?
I think so. That's so,
like,
yeah.
So that's like Angle, Brock, Taker, and Nathan Jones versus Big Show and A-Train.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy, Rey Mysterio. John Cena was not on the card. So it might be after 20. So that actually, it was probably like WrestleMania 20 era, right? Like a couple months after.
This strikes me as maybe a No Mercy card.
Okay. Because, you know, does it say like the title? I can't remember. Like, who was John Cena fighting?
He was in a triple threat here with Kurt Angle and Big Show.
Okay, so he fought Big Show at that year's WrestleMania. So that sounds about right, like a rematch of some sort.
Yeah, coming out of it or something. Okay.
Yeah.
The next, we have two left. And it's either Judgment Day or No Way Out. So the first one, the first card here is Eddie Guerrero versus Luther Reigns. Spike Dudley versus Nunzio. Billy Kidman versus Paul London. RVD and Rey Mysterio against Rene Dupree and Kenzo Suzuki. Big Show versus Kurt Angle. John Cena versus Booker T. Charlie Haas, Miss Jackie, and Rico against Don Marie and the Dudley Boys. Is this the show you were at?
That was not the show.
And you were at Judgment Day.
I was at Judgment Day, yeah.
So this would be No Way Out. Okay. All right. So then this must be Judgment Day. But you can tell me if I'm wrong.
I sure hope so.
Sure hope it is, too. Or else we did something wrong. Rey Mysterio and Rob Van Dam against the Dudley Boys. Torrie Wilson versus Dawn Marie. Mordecai versus Scotty Tuhati. Charlie Haas and Rico against Billy Gunn and Hardcore Holly. Chavo Guerrero versus Jacqueline. John Cena versus Rene Dupree. And The Undertaker versus Booker T.
Well, I just realized I'm an idiot. I was probably at Judgment Day 2005.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because the one I was at, it was Cena versus Bradshaw, JBL, and, like, Matt Morgan was there, and
that
I think
Cena
it was...
That Cena-JBL match, was that the one where they, like, bled like crazy?
Yeah, that, it was super fun live. And yeah. It was, I think, like, Kurt Angle got handcuffed to the ropes, and they, like, had trouble getting him out.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so... Okay, so I'm...
I think we stick with it.
Let's go. Yeah, it sounds very judgmenty. Mordecai was there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the answers here. Let's see. Let me copy paste this into the notebook app and see if we got it. Okay. So we've got Zach's got we have the Armageddon show correct. So that's one right.
Nice.
Good. We have the Great American Bash correct. So we're 2 for 2. Okay.
Yes.
We do not have No Mercy correct.
Son of a gun.
We do not have No Way Out correct.
Son of a gun.
And we do not have Judgment Day correct. We do have Judgment Day correct. So we just flipped the two no's. No Mercy and No Way Out were the two that we flipped. But otherwise, we got 3 out of 5.
That's not bad.
I'm actually impressed with that.
There's the weekly train, sorry.
That's okay.
Come by.
I like how, like, he does give us a little bit of clues, like the Santa Claus thing. Like, that was a nice little clue, and I thought that was good. All right. On to the next email. This one's from another regular emailer of the show, Chad in Nebraska. And again, like, you all could also become regular emailers to the show. All you got to do is email alleliteaftershow@gmail.com every week, and we can say that you are a regular emailer to the show.
It's very prestigious.
It's all you need to do. You can be a regular. Chad says, my friends, I hope you and your family had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Us Husker fans had a great weekend beating Iowa and hiring Matt Rhule as our head coach, along with not having Matt Patricia as play caller. Jeez, I think I complained about Matt Patricia once on Twitter. Everyone seems to – I mean, I'm still complaining about him. I think he's an idiot, but here we go. I'm glad people picked up on this. I did have to laugh, Chad says, when Andrew tried to talk about football last week. Oh, that's not nice.
It's very hurtful.
He just won, as we talked.
I just won. Me and the Vikings won. I'm riding high right now.
Sid's impact was just a recap of the Turkey Bowl and Thanksgiving segments. I am just going to talk about AEW. First, non-elite related. Where the heck have the Kingdom gone? They debuted on Rampage, and then they just disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know what? Here's kind of the thing, though, Andrew, where they have so many people on the roster. Mm-hmm. I forgot that they came in and disappeared.
I don't blame you. I did not think of them. I think, like, 2 days ago I thought of them for the first time in a few weeks, and I was like, there we go again. Like, this is, like, the 30th, you know, time somebody has showed up and then disappeared. So they didn't even get, like, a big match out of them so far. So, yeah. As of now, 12 days out of final battle, they have nothing scheduled, as far as I know. So
I agree.
Yeah, that's silly.
Okay, Mike, if you haven't had a chance to talk about the idiotic things the EVPs did in that tag match, I will give you guys the room to do so now. Again, we're going to come back to that. If you guys care, here are my thoughts on it. when the brawl out thing happened, I thought everyone was at fault and really didn't take anyone's side because I thought everyone was a jackass.
So that's a good take.
Fair enough. Like you guys mentioned a few times, why are they doing anything when CM Punk is reportedly negotiating a buyout? My wife will agree with me on this. I am no genius, and I know if I'm negotiating with someone and trying to get him to take less money, the last thing I would want to do is piss him off. I was even going to say before I saw Dynamite that I agree with Kenny when he mentioned in an interview with Sports Illustrated that, quote, there are things no one can talk about, so I'd encourage people to just let it go, end quote. It doesn't change. Oh, that's not the end of the quote. Quote, it doesn't change that we want a team effort in AEW, end quote. So with him saying that, and the next time you go on TV, you act like you're biting someone's arm, using the GTS, and your buddy mocks Punk getting injured. If I was Tony, I would be fuming. If I didn't know that, I would be fuming if I didn't know that. And if he did know, then he's just an idiot, and I hope Punk takes him for all the money that he's owed. Lastly, then I will get off my soapbox about this. I also agree with you that the best Kenny Omega is the one where he is the main event by himself, with Callis managing and not with the Bucks. P.S. Danhausen and Darby need to be fired, and he has another $5 challenge.
Support us on Patreon starting at $4.99. Get these shows ad-free and bonus VIP content. That's $4.99 on Patreon. Patreon.com/PWTorchVIP. That's Patreon.com/PWTorchVIP. That is the quickest, cheapest, and easiest way to support us and enjoy these shows with a streamlined listening experience. The Wade Keller post shows, podcasts, and the PW Torch daily casts, plus some random VIP bonus content.
There's a lot to react to with the Punk stuff, but again, we'll do that after emails because I have a feeling that could be a long, this is going to be a long conversation.
Yeah.
So let's do the $5 challenge here at the end of the email. $5 challenge in honor of Andrew's sports knowledge.
Oh no, I'm done.
This is all sports and TNA related. So it's TNA related.
Okay. I've watched that before.
What former, unfortunately for you, it's at various points. What former NFL tight end appeared on an episode of Impact with D'Angelo Williams and helped save Moose from an attack? So this must be relatively recent.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I feel like I would remember this.
I remember the storyline, but
D'Angelo Williams is a running back. I remember him being involved. I don't remember a tight end coming in to help, though.
He had a good match, too. But I don't, because the thing is like, I have no, I don't know who this person is beforehand, and then I see him once and then never see him again. So it's like, very difficult to put that in context. So
I have no idea. I have no clue.
Do you want to name a football player?
Sure.
Because I know, like, Tom Brady, and I don't think it was him.
No. So I'm going to go with D'Angelo Williams. When he came in, I think, played for the Steelers at the time. And their tight end was probably a guy named Heath Miller. So I'm going to go with him. It's also a very forgettable name. Like, oh, Heath Miller. That would just be just because they were teammates. Maybe they worked something out. I honestly have no recollection of this at all. I have a recollection of D'Angelo Williams being on the show, but none of someone else coming in with him.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Number two, what former Major League Baseball All-Star accompanied Chris Sabin, Dale Torberg, and Sanjay Dutt to the ring at Turning Point 2005?
I think that was AJ Pierzynski.
I agree with you. I'm almost positive that's who that was.
They did some stuff with him in the early days, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we got Heath Miller, AJ Pierzynski. I'm not even going to try to spell that the right way. Number three, what MLB Network announcer provided play-by-play with Don West at Slammiversary 2015? I know this.
Were we doing the show then? Because I feel like
we were, and this guy, I don't know.
Gosh. We said he was, like, pretty good, I think.
Not 2015, Slammiversary 15. It's the anniversary. So we were doing the show because he was good. It was Robert Flores, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Don West was on that show?
I don't remember Don West being on the show.
I don't remember Don West.
But I know the MLB Network guy that came in and did play-by-play for a show was Robert Flores. And it was, like you said, he was really good.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, yeah.
This one I don't remember. But who did Team Pac-Man beat at No Surrender 2007 for the TNA Tag Team titles? Just trying to think who would even be the tag team champions in 2007.
God, was it like the Three Live Crew? But I want to say it was probably heels that they beat.
I would imagine what, so.
What year was this again?
2007. Would Beer Money have been a heel team at that point?
I don't think it was them. God, this one's going to bug me. Because I remember being mad about it, because like Pac-Man had it in his contract that he wouldn't even he couldn't touch anyone, basically. And I wanted to say it was like two like promising young talent. I was like, yeah, this is stupid.
Motor City Machine Guns,
someone of that ilk. I don't think it was them. But just to like grab a team. I don't know. I would could do the guns. I don't think it's them, but
okay. Motor City Machine Guns.
If something else comes up, I'll shout it out.
Okay. And then number five. What was the name of Hermie Sadler's YouTube show on TNA's YouTube page? Hermie Sadler was a NASCAR guy, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, he was in the early days too.
He had a YouTube show apparently that I don't remember. So I'd be guessing it. I'm sure it was Hermie something.
Well, Hermie's, honking with Hermie.
Honking with Hermie, Hermie's hot takes, I don't know, something like that. Honking with Hermie sounds like it could very well be it.
Yeah, sounds like a show.
All right, we'll go with that. Honking with Hermie. I like it. Okay. Number one, what former NFL tight end appeared on an episode of Impact with D'Angelo Williams and helped save Moose from an attack? We had Heath Miller. Okay, I remember this guy. I don't remember him being part of TNA. Correct answer was Gary Barnage, who was a tight end, I think, for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, well, Gary Barnage.
I remember Gary Barnage on the football field. Have no recollection of him in TNA.
No, none.
What former MLB All-Star accompanied Chris Sabin, Dale Torberg, and Sanjay Dutt to the ring in Turning Point 2005? We had AJ Pierzynski. That is correct, so we are one for two. What MLB Network announced provided play-by-play with Don West at Slammiversary 15? We had Robert Flores. We were also correct, so we are 2-4-3. Who did Team Pac-Man beat at No Surrender 2007 for the TNA Tag Team titles? We had the Motor City Machine Guns. They beat Sting and Kurt Angle.
Okay, I would not have guessed that. That is not two young up-and-comers.
No. So we had 2-4. Let's see, number five. What was the name of Hermie Sadler's YouTube show on TNA's YouTube page? We had Honkin' with Hermie. We were not that far off. Hermie's Hot Seat was the name of the YouTube show. So we were not far off. So 2-5 on Chad's this week. But that was a fun one. Okay. Alex in Minneapolis, and he also has a $5 challenge for us here. Ooh. But he starts by saying, the elite acting like idiots in Punk's hometown was nothing more something that, again, I don't want to jeopardize the PW Torch livecast's family-friendly rating, so I think I have to skip this and say he gives me an alternate. He gives me an alternate version. He gives me a filter version to say. So he said, that's why I'm giggling. The elite acting like idiots in Punk's hometown was nothing more than. Oh, it was nothing more than stiffer than YouTube guidelines. I can tell you what I'll email you what he said.
Okay.
I don't want to. I know we have the everyone rating in the Apple podcast, and I don't want to be the guy to jeopardize that.
We don't want to ruin it for everyone.
The elite cover all the bases. If people get mad at them, then it's always, oh, they're just being heels. It's just comedy. Well, at the same time, they take all these passive aggressive or wink wink shots at Punk or whoever else, and their fans praise it. The Bucks crying on BTE about how hard the last 2 months were was Hogan level exaggeration. The hardest 2 months of your life is a paid vacation while Tony and AEW legal figure out a way to rig an investigation in your favor, that's a pretty good life. Some of you want about Punk, but at least he was entertaining and he was when he was in WWE. In AEW, just like with Cody, Punk was a businessman and wanted to sell pay-per-views. Put asses in seats. Went above and beyond so that everyone could eat good. Did these three clowns ever do anything that was close to any kind of entertainment instead of the same elite turmoil storyline? Garbage. Just like Brett, Jim Cornette is always right. I'll lighten the mood with this. Who was a better Steve? What was the better Steve Blackman theme? I have to sing this.
Oh, I remember those.
So you do? Because he goes, dong, dugga, dong, da, dong, ga, dong.
One's like, but I don't know how it goes. Dun, 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 dun.
That one I remember. The first one.
The other one is like, it's like,
oh, it was almost like a techno theme.
Yeah, it's like, I think that was when he came out with like kendo sticks and it was just this fast.
And they were glowing, right?
Were they?
He had like glow in the dark kendo sticks at one point, didn't he?
Steve Black, I mean, maybe he did when he was in Head Cheese.
Maybe. I thought I remember.
I like them both, actually. I might go the harder one,
I like the first one.
They're both good, though. They're both something you can dance to.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew was right, Alex says. I enjoy messing with you guys with my wrestlers before they were stars question. So here's another one. $5 challenge. Bobby Roode had over a dozen tryout matches on Jacked, Heat, and Velocity.
Oh, God.
Along with tons of dark matches. Can you name the three singles wrestler, one established tag team, and one makeshift tag team? Note, the makeshift tag team featured someone he had previously lost to.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so Bobby Roode tryout matches.
Who did he lose to is the question?
He doesn't really say. He had over a dozen tryout matches. Can you name the three singular? He doesn't say. Can you name the three singles wrestlers, one established tag team, and one makeshift tag team? But he had over a dozen matches.
So if he was trying out, this must have been before 2004? Because I don't know if he was was an original, was he? Did he come in like a year later or something?
He came in with
Team Canada.
Yeah. So here's what we're doing, because I don't really know what it looks like. I don't really know what he's asking us here.
Yeah.
I assume it's tryout matches, so I assume he lost most of them. But he says three singles wrestlers and two tag teams. So let's come up with three singles wrestlers and two tag teams and see how many of them are on the list.
Okay. My guess is that these are people he competed against.
Yes, I would assume so. So, I'm thinking these are probably 2002, 2003-ish.
Yeah, that sounds safe. Rodney Mack.
I didn't know. I was actually going to say someone just like that, yeah. Rodney Mack, I like that. I think that's good. Rodney Mack makes sense.
I was going to say Chris Masters, but I think he's a year or so later.
I think he was like 05-06.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, tryout matches at that time, that could have been like a Lance Storm, like somebody that, like a good,
oh yeah,
good technician, get in the ring with him and then let the vet come back and be like thumbs up, thumbs down type of thing.
I like that. Yeah. Especially the Canadian connection as well. Maybe they there.
Yeah.
So maybe Christian as well. I guess he got like a singles push in 2003.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. And then apparently two tag teams.
2003
WWE tag teams.
Well, we did 3-minute warning last week and we got that, but I don't know if he would be sneaky enough to do the same team twice.
I think Alex is pretty sneaky.
Okay. I think 3 minute warning.
3 minute warning. Because again, it was also like roughly the same time period too. So if they did one tryout match, you would have
imagined that
they
would
probably do more. So I think that's a good rationale. And then there's a makeshift tag team, he said, which means it's going to be just two singles guys thrown together.
Sean Stasiak and or Planet Stasiak.
I like it.
Apologies, Sean. Planet Stasiak. And do you want to say a random wrestler from that time period?
Sure. I'll say Sean Stasiak and Albert. Prince Albert.
I love it.
All right.
I mean, they tried to, like, 40 different things with Albert, so.
Yeah. So we had Rodney Mack, Lance Storm, Christian, 3 minute warning, and the tag team everybody remembers of Sean Stasiak and Prince Albert. let's see. Who did he wrestle? Did he wrestle any of those three in this list? Let me take a look here. Well, Albert was in a tag team with Rhino. He was known as A-Train now at that point.
The A-Train.
Let's see. Orlando Jordan, Ryan Sakota, Billy Kidman. The established tag team was the FBI.
Oh.
Beat Bobby Roode and Eric Young on a Velocity taping in 2003.
Oh, that's interesting. That's fun.
Tyson Dukes. Sean O'Hare beat him twice.
Oh, my boy, Sean.
So, yeah, we got a big zero out of that, but that's okay. These are the hardest ones, for sure.
Those are
the
ones that Okay. I was so I'm going through like this. I don't have a VHS player anymore, but I have like 40 tapes in my apartment, and I borrowed a VCR from my sister, like a VCR/TV, so I could get rid of these tapes, find out what's on them. And 90% of them are just wrestling from that time.
Yeah.
And I was watching this match. It was Sean O'Hare teaming up with Roddy Piper. And I don't even know why I'm telling the story, but it just sticks out. Like, so those two were teaming up during that time, and they were taking on Eddie Guerrero and somebody else, like Tajiri, they're like for the tag team championship. Anyways, like, Piper looked really, really out of shape, and he was probably younger than Chris Jericho is right now. And Taz said something to the effect of, like, oh, this isn't Roddy Piper's first barbecue. And he's like, and then he like does an aside and he's like, actually it doesn't look like Roddy Piper missed many barbecues. It's like, this guy's like, I mean, I laughed despite myself, but I'm like, man, like how weird is it that like Roddy Piper, one of the most famous like wrestlers ever, is midway through the show and they're just like making fun of that he's overweight. So
yeah, that is a little weird.
Yeah.
That's how it is, though. I mean, it was funny. I was watching some 1995 Raws earlier today as I was doing some work, and that's where I'm up to in my look back, my watch back that I'm doing. And I completely forgot they did like a little TV angle to set up a match between Jerry Lawler and Bret Hart, where, and it doesn't play well in 2022, but basically the story was, Jerry Lawler accused Bret Hart of being a racist because he beat Hakushi.
Oh, wow.
He was a racist against the Japanese people because he beat Hakushi. And the funniest part about the whole thing was, the kind of the most like, nauseating part of the whole thing, wasn't really that funny, is over the course of that, of Jerry Lawler, I think on commentary, cutting the promo on commentary about why Bret Hart is a racist because he beat Hakushi in a match, Vince kind of rolls his eyes and was like, oh, I guess you can accuse anybody of being a racist nowadays. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? But it definitely, like, knowing what we know about Vince now, it's like, yeah, Vince was definitely upset that, you know, someone probably wrote something in TV Guide about some character that he did that was racist. And then he decided to make like a little story out of it. That's how it came across.
That's what it is. Okay.
And it was just kind of like, oh, really? That's what they were doing,
yes,
then? I've also been completely surprised at the number of promotional considerations. Like, they cross-promoted with something almost every week. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. Oh, now somebody's pounding upstairs. I am so sorry. This is just crazy show. Anyways, yeah, it's like, it's crazy, like, watching those old tapes too, because like, like, it's a reminder of like how often people died, because I'm just like fast forwarding through them, and I'm watching a TNA one, and at the beginning of the show they're like, this episode dedicated to Chris Candido, and then I watched like a Raw one and they're like, dedicated to Ray Traylor. Like pretty much, you know, kind of during that same time frame, and it's just like, man, I've, you know, you kind of forget how often like wrestlers passed away then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Give yourself a reason to look forward to going to the mailbox each week with a PW Torch newsletter paper copy subscription. Details at pwtorch.com/papercopy. It's 12 pages every week, packed with my TV reports, along with exclusive features such as my cover story on the top story of the week, our pay-per-view roundtable reviews from the Torch staff, exclusive feature-length columns from Greg Parks, Rich Fan, Sean Radican, Alan Cunahan, and Zach Haydorn, Torch Talk transcripts, the latest news, and more. pwtorch.com/papercopy. Take a break from screen time and settle in every week with a mega dose of wrestling news and analysis with a Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, paper copy edition, in the year 2022. You can get a full year of home delivery for just $99. Or try us for an 8-week trial subscription. pwtorch.com/papercopy.
Okay, let's get to the Punk stuff, and then we'll finish up in a, after this conversation. But I want to get your thoughts on this, because I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
We all saw what happened on Dynamite last week. Emailers brought it up. During the six-man, the Elite, you know, Kenny's biting somebody's arm, and they're making fun of Punk for missing a spot. And there were several references to Punk with what the Elite were doing. There were several references in BTE. I watched a little bit for the first time in a long time. I skimmed through BTE 2 weeks ago just to see what they were doing with the first show back and see if they referenced the Punk stuff. And of course, they just left the chant in of the FCM Punk over and over again. So they did. I mean, they did reference it. So I'm sitting here going, okay, they've referenced it now a couple of times in a row. They did it on BTE, and they did it on not only did they do it on BTE, but they also did it on Dynamite, right? And trying to figure out, well, what is this, you know, what are they exactly are they trying to do? What does it mean? Are they just trying to rib them, or are they trying to do something here, set something up for something down the road? It actually got me thinking, and I don't think it's likely. I preface it by saying, like, look, maybe it's like a 2% chance, but back in September after All Out, I would have said there's a 0% chance that these guys will ever work together and they'll try to make money out of this. But the longer it goes and the more that they make references to it and the longer it goes without Punk getting bought out, I think there's at least a sliver of a chance that maybe cooler heads prevailed and they're going to make some money with this. Otherwise, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, if I'm Tony Khan, I don't let them do that, because
exactly
it like, to me, as like a Punk fan, it gets my hopes up. And if it's not going to pay off, that, and there's got to be other people who are like, huh, I wonder if this is like an angle or starting something. If there's going to be no payoff to it, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I don't. I still think it is much more likely that he never returns and they do get a buyout at some point.
Yep.
But like the fact that they keep referencing it and Tony hasn't been like, hey, idiots, knock it off. Like, you do it again and I'm taking off TV.
Yeah.
The fact that that hasn't happened makes me think, okay, either it's one of two scenarios. Either they've worked something out and they're going to keep it alive because they know in 8 months when Punk is back, you know, Kenny and Punk is going to main event All Out 2023.
Yeah.
And they know that. Or, so it's either smart business because they know the Punk's coming back at some point, or Tony is like completely ineffective and has zero power as a boss and has no control over these guys. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think it's probably the latter.
That's my guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't just put his foot down on this. Like, say like, hey, stop. You know, your BTE revolves around AEW. You shoot this stuff here. You have AEW talent on there. like, knock it off. You cannot talk about Punk, and you cannot tease Punk. You cannot make references to him because some people out there are going to think this is an angle, and I can never pay it off. So don't get people's hopes up. And also, you look childish.
And I guess the third potential version is, you know, it's either that he's coming back and they're trying to set up to do some business. Tony wants them to stop and is completely ineffective as a boss. Or Tony's encouraging it, which would make me question Tony's abilities as a business person. Why would you needle and piss off the guy that you're trying to negotiate a buyout with? So I don't think it's either really smart and they're laying the groundwork for a future match, or he's an ineffective boss, or he's a bad business person. I don't think there's any, those are kind of the three roads this can go down. Because again, like, I just don't see the point. And the other thing that made me think a little bit, like, just made me kind of lean in towards maybe this is going to turn into a match, is the fact that we had, I think Chad referenced it, Wednesday at like 2 o'clock, there's a story that comes out in Sports Illustrated, Kenny Omega basically saying, you know what, you know, people just have to let it go and everything else. And 4 hours later, he's out there biting somebody's arm, you know, making references to him, which is exactly what a heel would do. And that's where I went with it was, you know, the heel move would be to come out and cut a promo and say, guys, everybody's got to relax. We're letting it go. And then four hours later on TV, very clearly not have let it go. Again, I think it's like the chances, I think, improved from 0% to 1%. But I've moved to the point now where I wouldn't completely rule it out. And I wanted to know, do you think I'm absolutely crazy? Or would you also, like, 99% rule it out, but leaving the 1% open that maybe something's going on?
I leave it open as well, actually. No, I don't think you're crazy. I think Tony is holding out hope that the sides can still come together because as of we've heard, like, he hasn't straight up fired him. He hasn't bought a CM Punk out. And you, as you can tell, like, he is a huge CM Punk fan. I think he's like, you know, I think bringing in Punk is probably one of the biggest things that happened to him, like, as a promoter. And he made him his champion multiple times. You know, he's the guy that kind of lured him out of retirement. I think that probably breaks his heart, I guess, like, how things ended up. So maybe part of him is like holding out hope that fences can be mended. And if they did that match, like, the biggest match AEW could do right now, it's not MJF involved in anything. It would be CM Punk and Kenny Omega. In my eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same here. They never were able to do it. And now with this whole story as part of it, 100%. Yeah. No, I don't think there's any question.
Because it would be like if Bret Hart fought Shawn Michaels in 1998, like, for some reason he came back to WWF and you were able to do that match. So, like, it's possible that they could do that. And, like, it's possible they will do their highest buy rate ever. Maybe, you know, it would definitely, like, do a bigger buy rate than their last few ones. So I think with things like kind of turning around with a new TV contract coming up, like, there's a lot at stake here. And if he could, you know, try to get CM Punk back on board, which I don't think is likely, but it's got to be at least appealing to him to think about.
The only other thing that I come back to, and again, I will throw this out as a fourth option, which if this was the case, I don't know what to make of it, but I can certainly understand why Tony hasn't put a stop to it. The fourth potential option, I think, is Tony sitting there going, I'm not going to buy him out. I'm going to keep him under contract for the rest of the term. I'm going to pay him every dollar that I owe him. It's not going to save me any money. But he's not going anywhere else, and he's not going to WWE. So at that point, if I'm not, you know what, guys, Kenny, Matt, Nick, I'm not buying him out. I'm done with him. Do whatever you want. I don't care. You know, maybe that's what's happening too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, like, even Punk, who has stayed relatively quiet, did you see the comments he made during, he was doing commentary on an MMA show?
Something about the locker room, right? Like, he doesn't belong in locker rooms or something to that effect.
The MMA show he was commentating on, one of the announcers had brought it up or something like that. And, you know, Punk made a joke of it. He was like, oh, you don't want me in your locker room. I'm a cancer. Just ask around.
Or he said, oh, he like specifically that. Said that, like the Jericho accusation.
Yeah, exactly. But he did it in a way like he kind of was laughing as he said it. So like, mm-hmm. it's at the point where everyone's kind of starting to make references to it, including Punk, even though Punk hasn't been on Twitter since June. But you know, in a MMA gig that he had, he brought it up when it was talked about. So I don't know. I think there's something there. Again, I'm 99% sure he's never going to be set foot in AEW again, and he's done, and we're never going to see him again. But with everything going on, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said 0% chance he ever comes back.
Yeah.
I'm getting worked. I don't know, but I've at least left the door open like a tiny crack. You know what? Let me put it this way, Andrew. The door is probably still closed, but it's not mm-hmm. locked. It's not locked yet.
Yeah, I'm probably more optimistic, but I guess I don't know. I would put it at like 10%.
Okay.
Because I think there's just so much money and intrigue to be made for Tony Khan that he would. I don't know. I just don't know if he's like has it in him to be like Punk. We're done. Like, yeah. Get out of here. You know, that he's not that kind of guy. I think he's probably in the back of his mind wondering if he can still make this thing work. And maybe I'm reading it wrong and he's already came to a decision, but I do think I'd put it at 10%.
And, well, time heals all wounds, too. Although, if the Bucks can kind of keep making references to it on TV every week, it's going to keep reopening those wounds. So I don't know how healed up they're going to be.
Yeah, true.
But we'll see.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
The other thing I wanted to get your opinion on is, and again, this goes back to Tony's, business decisions. They've announced the best of seven series between the Elite and Death Triangle for the Trios titles. And I think we can all expect it to go seven matches. Otherwise, why do this?
Fair. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes to six, actually. I think Tony likes to do kind of little upsets like that, but six or seven, yeah.
I noticed in the graphic where they were announcing the matches and showing us where they were going to be that not a single one of these matches is going to be on Rampage.
Yes. Yeah.
Is he basically telling us that show on Friday nights doesn't matter?
He is. I don't know why he's doing that.
Especially when he has a television deal to renegotiate in like a year.
That's a very strange call. He should have done like two of them.
I would have met at least one. I think two is probably the right call. Two out of seven. It struck me right away looking at the graphic going, they didn't put a single one of these on Rampage. And okay, maybe you don't want spoilers getting out or whatever, but again, put like the third one on Rampage. Guess what? Who cares if there's spoilers? No one's expecting this thing to go four. Everyone's expecting it to go at least six or seven. So put like the second or third match on Rampage. And who cares if it gets out 2 days ahead of time?
Yeah. Like part of me would be like almost conspiratorial and be like, I wonder if he's like tanking Rampage so he can get rid of it. It's just too much. He realizes it's overexposing everyone. He's just going to give up and, try to negotiate just Dynamite, except for the fact that he's also trying to get Ring of Honor off the ground, and that's probably going to be an hour or two show every week. So I don't know what he's doing with Rampage. And I actually thought last week's show was pretty good, a lot less goofy than they've been doing, but there's nothing big going on.
No. It just struck me as very strange. And again, just the timing of it, too, where he's going to be renegotiating that television deal in about a year. Like, as it was a 3-year deal. So in that last year, it's not like they're going to wait till, 30 days before it's up to start renegotiating again. It's usually about a year out that they'd start to renegotiate. So for an extension, presumably, and to not even to basically make that second show a complete afterthought, you got seven matches. You could put one of them on Rampage. I don't know. I think it sends a weird message. and you would think that they would want to try to pop a number on Rampage one night, especially considering that like half of their Dynamite audience is watching that show, if not even a little bit less on some weeks.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that just sends like a clear signal that the show like doesn't matter that much. It might as well. It's not referenced that much more than Dark and Dark Elevation. Like, seriously, like they.
No, it's not. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, like storyline wise, like because they'll mention stuff like, oh, so and so on Dark has picked up a few victories. It's basically the exact same thing with Rampage. Like, oh, they beat this person last week, but no like real highlights. No, you got to watch this. It's just matches thrown together out of nowhere, and then they don't really matter that much within their entire like storyline arcs.
Yeah, I agree. I also, going back to the Punk thing, it's funny. I read somebody, I forget where I read this. I apologize for not giving credit. I can look it up and I'll put on Twitter where I saw it. But there was someone who wrote a pretty interesting story on the Punk thing and basically writing it from the mindset of, look, I don't know if I believe this, but I'm going to try to make the case that this is a giant work from the very beginning, the whole Punk. Like they were going back and going through the details, trying to use evidence, real evidence, to make the case that the entire thing has been a work. And one of the things that was interesting about it, and I had not thought of this until now, and I'm not even sure that this makes too much sense, but it was just interesting. The one of the points that was made was, it's 2022. This happened backstage. There's people everywhere. No one got this on. Everyone has a camera in their pocket. No one caught video of this. There was not a single, like, no one caught. People in the company, you know, saw it, but there's zero video evidence of it before or after, or a photo or anything. And you know, like, we didn't see a photo of Kenny's arm like a bit,
yeah,
or anything like that. Like, although I think in one of the things when Kenny was in Japan, I think there was evidence of a bite on his arm.
I think so too. Yeah, I guess they, within the conspiracy, they would say he put on some makeup or something.
Maybe,
or bit,
yeah,
his own, or bit his own arm.
Bit his own arm. Bit his own arm to make it. You know, it's kind of like when I was a kid, you put like the hot face cloth on your face, and they go, "Mom, I have a fever. I can't go to school today." but it was interesting. I to read the perspective of even the person that was writing it was like, "Look, I don't believe that this is the case, but I'm going to try to make the case that it's a giant work." And the most elaborate work in wrestling history.
Oh, and like, man.
They had some evidence where you sit there and you go, okay, like, yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
I would check that out, yeah. I mean, I would put it at 0.005%, but it's interesting.
I think it's more likely that something real happened and they've been able to iron out the issues.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if that's even what's actually happened here. One last thing before we get to wrapping things up, I wanted to get your thoughts on. What did you think of the decision to not have MJF speak last week on Dynamite and hold it off a week?
A little disappointing, I would say. That's usually like the big selling point. I mean, I guess they probably couldn't just because he was on a movie set, I believe, right?
Oh, was that the deal? Oh, I did read that. Yes.
Yeah, I think he's doing that Iron Claw movie, and he was shooting that, I believe. But yeah, that was a bummer. And I like kind of the emailer said, I forgot who wrote that, but I think it worked out in about as well as it could have, because I would not have guessed Regal would have got that kind of heat. So it did work in that sense. Like, now they get to pay off two things. Like, one, we get to hear from Regal, and two, we get to hear from MJF. So. While I guess it was disappointing in the moment, it works out fine. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it worked out too, because as a heel, like, you expected to hear from him and then you didn't. So that hopefully builds up some bad will with MJF. Because again, like,
right,
I still have concerns over whether or not they're actually going to get the people to boo this guy. you know, and I don't think him going out and insulting the town that they're in week to week is going to do it.
No, I hate that stuff.
You know, I don't think it's going to do it. It might work for the crowd in the building, but like when he did it in Buffalo that one time, I remember, like, I think I even said it on the show. It's like, yeah, he's making fun of Buffalo. I'm a Patriots fan. I hate the Bills. I hate Buffalo too. You're all right, MJF. It's a dump.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to the fine people of Buffalo, but like, and as a sports fan, I don't like Buffalo either. So like, yeah, I'm right on with you. You know, Josh Allen is terrible. Great. you know, and I kid. Like, I've been to Buffalo plenty of times. I love Buffalo. Buffalo's a great town. I'm just using it as an example, right? So, but, like, it's – that's not going to work. It's going to work with people in the building, but it's not going to work long-term, I think, with the audience as a whole if you really want to get people to hate this guy. And I don't know. Like, it's almost interesting in the sense that for a while – wrestlers, especially new wrestlers, I remember hearing guys talk about this in interviews, they'd always say, like, hey, when I first go into a new territory or when I was a new wrestler, I always prefer to be a heel because it's easier to get booed than it is to get cheered. It's almost like in 2022, that's flipped. It's easier to get cheered than it is to get booed, because if you're cool and you're a heel, people cheer you. Like, it's almost like it's harder to get booed now than it is to get cheered.
I would say so. I mean, like, from, like, I don't know, a kayfabe perspective, or from, like, the storyline, like, MJF is their worst character. Like, he makes fun of people's, like, dead parents, and the crowd, like, doesn't care.
They laugh.
They laugh. They love it. It's, yeah, it's very bizarre. I wish people didn't. I think it makes the show more fun if he just got, like, nuclear heat like he used to.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, like, cheering him because you think he's a good performer. I think is kind of odd, but I don't know. I guess that's just 2022.
Yeah.
Thanks for downloading today's show. Take it to the next level with a VIP membership. Get shows like this, the Weight Killer Pro Wrestling Podcast, Weight Killer Pro Wrestling Post Show, and the PW Torch Daily Casts on our PW Torch VIP podcast feed with ads and plugs removed from the shows for a streamlined listening experience. And also hear the VIP exclusive shows that I host with Rich Fan and Todd Martin. Everything with Rich Fan and The Fix with Todd Martin's signature VIP series that you're missing out without a VIP membership. So go VIP here in 2022 and enjoy all the benefits, all the bonus content, and the ad-free listening experience. PWTorch.com/goVIP.
All right. Well, that's all I have, Andrew. I don't know. Do you have anything else to talk about?
I don't. I just got one more thing.
Oh, you made me nervous. I thought you didn't even have one more thing. I was going to be like, wow, okay.
Going to bed. See ya.
Boy, was I wrong, man. I was way off.
We got the $5 challenge.
All right.
Mike's $5 challenge.
I'm feeling
brief
good,
summary,
by the way.
If Mike wins, I will Venmo him $5. No questions asked. Actually, no, there will be five questions asked.
My grand total collected thus far, we've been doing this for months now, my grand total collected so far has been $0.
It's $0, but, I mean, it could start now, and in 2023, you could make $250. Like,
there's the potential for that, yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling very good today. I'm in a good mood. I'm feeling smart.
I hope you're also feeling hungry, because tonight's theme is leftovers, since we just did Thanksgiving.
I like it.
Well, it's best I got. Anyways, question number one. Who competed in the WWF's, at the time, first ever Gravy Bowl match?
Gravy Bowl match. This is going to sound very bad in 2022. I believe, was this a Divas match where they were wrestling in, like, in a big inflatable thing of gravy?
That is correct.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. Wasn't entirely sure, but that's what I thought it was.
Okay. That is what it was, yes.
That's, again, just connecting some dots here.
Just good family fun, yes.
Yeah, good family fun. So let's see. I'm going to go. This would have had to have been, I remember this, and it definitely would have, it wouldn't have been like 2000, by 2005, 2006, that stuff was starting to get phased out. I mean, you had like some of it, but I don't remember people wrestling in a gravy bowl at that point. It must have been early 2000s, which I guess could have been someone like, maybe someone like I'm going to go with Ivory.
Okay.
Because I have the recollection of her being forced into doing some sort of match like this, which she really didn't want to do. Ivory and Jacqueline.
Ivory and Jacqueline. Okay. Question number two, a different kind of leftovers. WCW's Revolution Stable was composed of Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, and Perry Saturn. Which two members of the group did not go to the WWE as the Radicals?
Malenko and Saturn did. So that means correct. Who were the other two?
So Malenko, Benoit, and Saturn did. And did, two and members two of the group did not. Yep. Who are those two?
Not as members of the Radicals. But that doesn't mean they didn't end up coming in at some point. I don't think this is correct, but I have... The first thought that came to my head was Billy Kidman and Chris Kanyon.
Ooh, better than Kanyon.
Okay. So I guess I got to go with those two guys.
This one's a struggle to put in as a leftover because it was going to lead somewhere else. But anyways, who was the very last person inducted into the NWO? They were left over.
The last person inducted into the NWO.
The very last person inducted into the NWO, yes.
Ooh. Okay. The very last person inducted into the NWO. That's a good question. Because it was like, I don't know if this is cheating, but is this the original one? Or like, because remember they tried to do that like revival towards the end? Was it like the
this is,
NWO?
It's after that, I'll say.
Okay, so and if that's the case, then I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Chavo Guerrero.
Chavo Guerrero. Question number four. Speaking of leftovers, this is basically the wrestling equivalent of leftovers, because how many times did John Cena and Randy Orton face off 1-1 in a pay-per-view match?
Oh my God, 600? that's not my official answer, although it feels that way.
Okay. just delete that.
Did you say main event or just faced off?
Just faced off 1-1 in a pay-per-view match.
Okay. Just faced off. One-on-one. So I think it's got to be in the 20. It's got to be in that. 20 is a lot. I feel like I'm on The Price is Right. It's like, without going over, what is your bid? I'm going to say 13.
13, lucky, unlucky 13. Last question on the leftovers. The last time, I'm going to butcher this name, last time we saw the gobbledygooker on TV, he was beat up. Who beat this turkey?
It was recent. He was on TV like within the last few years. Probably within the last 10 years. So who beat him up? You know, I think it was Randy Orton. I'm going to say Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, the Legend Killer,
RKO or something,
and the Turkey Killer.
Yeah, the Gobbledygooker Killer.
All right, are these all locked in?
Yes, and if I get anything better than a zero, I'm going to be very impressed. I'm just saying.
I will admit this was a tougher one, but you did get one right.
No way.
Yeah. Which one do you think you got right?
Which one do I think I got right? I think I got the Orton one right.
You did not.
No? Okay.
So, Teenage Mike's brain must have come through on this one, because the first ever Gravy Bowl match
no way.
Was Ivory and Jacqueline.
1999. Okay. So I distinctly remembered, and the Jacqueline was a pure guess. I had gone with Ivory only because I do remember her being a part of something like that and, like, not wanting to do it. Like, she's out at the ringside or out wherever they did it in, like, at the tub or whatever, the pool. And, like, someone was, like, going, like, no, you have to do it. And she's, like, standing there going, like, no, I'm not going to go in there. Like, I'm not – this is below me. I'm not doing it. And, like, part of the storyline was she had to be, like, forced into doing it. If I remember correctly.
And I think they only did for the aficionados out there. I think there was only one more Gravy Bowl match after that. It was Stacy Keibler and Trish. I only knew that because I looked it up today. So just want that to be clear.
Oh, that's somewhere I must have locked that memory away somewhere in the back of my brain. I pulled from it today.
WWE's Revolution stable. Which two did not go to WWE? This one's tricky as well. It was Shane Douglas, and then Asia, the knockoff of China.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
This one's super tricky, so I apologize. Who was the very last person inducted into the NWO? You guessed Chavo Guerrero. He was never in the NWO. He was in the LWO, I believe, maybe. This is super random. The person, last person in the NWO was Eric Cannon at a 2018 indie show.
Eric Cannon.
He's a Midwest wrestler, but Hall, Nash.
Was in TNA at one point too, wasn't he?
He probably had a few tryout matches. He had one in a couple in AEW, and but they put him into the group, and it was the first person who had been in the group in like 16 years or something. Very obscure. Leftover matches. How many times did Cena and Orton face off one-on-one? You guessed 13. It was 10.
I was going to say, I bet I'm pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just one-on-one. If you put it like triple threat and stuff like that, it's a lot more, I assumed.
Yeah.
And then who beat up the turkey gobbledygooker? You guessed Randy Orton. It was actually Retribution, most specifically Mace and T-Bar.
Really?
Yeah, they double chokeslam.
What, like last year? When were they?
It must have been. It was only on Main Event though, but it was during the COVID era. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Need an extra dose of positivity in your wrestling podcasts? Well, come join me, Alan Forel, over in the Pro Wrest Paradise at PW Torch VIP as we bask on the bright side of wrestling and focus on some of the great matches and shows from around the world, be it the US, Japan, Europe, or Mexico. There's always a place for wrestling's past in the Paradise too, and we've done fun historical shows such as the We Love Liger series, celebrating the glorious career of Jushin Thunder Liger, and our I Was There When shows, where our guests will join me to talk about a classic bout that they were in attendance for. We love variety, and you can expect lots of it at the Pro Wrest Paradise. Detailed PW Torch VIP subscription information and a list of all the VIP benefits is available at pwtorchvipinfo.com. And yes, all VIP podcasts are compatible with popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android devices, or you can stream them directly from our ad-free VIP mobile site. See you in the paradise.
I just saw something about the Thunderdome again today. What was it about? Oh, it was they're going to do a show in India in January, I think. And they said it's part of their television deal with their Indian partner. And the thing was like they had done one special for India, but it was from the Thunderdome because at the time that's where they still were. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Superstar Slam or something like that.
Oh, so they're going to India for a show?
I think that's what it said, yeah. I think I read today they're going. WWE is going to go. I don't know if it's a once-a-year thing, but like it's part of their television deal with whatever company they signed with in India for distribution for TV that they do some live events from out there. So.
Wasn't the last time they were there, they had Jinder Mahal lose to Triple H?
So, I do recall something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Seems smart. Yeah, it seems smart. But the way it should be. Before we do wrap up, did you see any, speaking of WWE, did you see any of Survivor Series this weekend?
I didn't. I just listened to some recaps of it. Did you watch?
I actually thought it was a pretty good show. I was home with nothing going on a Saturday for the first time in a while. I didn't fall off. So I sat here and watched the whole thing. I was doing some stuff in the background. Uh-huh. There were times I wasn't really paying attention at all, and times that I was very much paying attention, and I actually thought it was pretty good. Pretty good show.
Main
event was really good. The women's War Games match was okay. Mm-hmm. The Bloodline against Sheamus' team with Kevin Owens was, I thought that was really, really, really good.
That's like the thing that's, yeah, I've been watching clips of the Bloodline. I mean, that's like the main thing that would get me back into WWE these days, but everything else sounds kind of, I don't know, not all that exciting. But
again, I generally keep up through the YouTube clips because I can watch like the whole show in 20 minutes and only see the highlights and not have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, I love War Games, though, so maybe I'll still like check out that main event.
I would suggest you watch the men's matches. Just, they did a good job of like weaving the story throughout the whole night, but also just during the match itself too, where the story was basically Sami Zayn is not trusted. He's by the Usos, or by specifically, I think, Jimmy Uso. I'm not sure if it's Jimmy or Jay, but one of the Usos in particular does not trust Sami Zayn, does not think he's there to help the Bloodline, and Reigns is kind of like, nope, he's fine. And throughout the course of the match, there's times where Kevin Owens tries to convince Sammy that these people are not your real family. I am. And then it goes back and forth. And basically at the end of the match, Sammy costs Owens, like low blows Kevin Owens. It allows whichever Uso Sammy's not getting along with.
I think it's Jimmy too.
Yeah. To do a splash and get the pin. So it's kind of like, you know, Sammy makes the ultimate sacrifice, sacrifices his friend to show the rest of the Bloodline that he's all in. And then it was really well done, because then like after the match, you know, Jimmy and Sammy kind of have this stare off for a second, and then there's the big hug, and they actually thought they did a really good job of telling the story within the match, and it was good.
I give WWE credit, and I think this is something that AEW has been missing, is that they don't tend to go back to things. Like watching those old tapes, you'll like see Jericho, and then he'll show up again, and then he'll show up again, just to like really reiterate, like, this is kind of one of the big things on the show. And like, that sounds what they do with the Bloodline every week. Whereas I think AEW just like move on to the next thing. And I think that would be something you should look at.
One of the things, and I think, I don't remember if it was Tom Martin or Tom Stoop on the round table for VIP members that brought up this point, but it was spot on. It's what made me, I think, enjoy the main event even more. Was it reminded me of like a pay-per-view from like that 98 to 2002 era, where the main event of the pay-per-view was the story of the show. And yeah, there were other matches, but like they kept going back. There were segments spread out throughout Survivor Series that told you the story of what the main event was going, the story that the main event was going to tell. And then that story went and played itself out over the course of the main event. And like, I remember that happening a lot when Austin was champion, and there'd be these things that Vince would be doing backstage throughout the course of the night that would affect the main event. But like, that was, it gets you really invested into that match. And I found myself sitting here, you know, it was me and my oldest son, we were the only two home, and we're watching the show, and the both of us were kind of like watching the show, going like, we're really into this match. And he hasn't really watched anything in a couple of years. Like, once the crowd wasn't involved anymore, he kind of stopped watching altogether. And even he was sitting here with me, and he's 13, but he was sitting here with me, and he had kind of one eye on his phone and one eye looking up. And then all of a sudden, like, when that stuff came on, he was paying attention to it. And then during the main event match, he was paying attention to it. And I think it had to do with the fact that they roped you in with the story they were telling throughout the course of the show. Because he didn't watch anything leading up to the show. Because he had done, like I said, he hasn't watched really any wrestling in probably 2 years. But all of a sudden he was paying attention to that match, which I think means they're doing something right. And so was I. I mean, I haven't really watched the show either, but I was super into what they were doing.
That's something like that happened, and you didn't, like, I didn't even realize they didn't do that anymore. But when you think back on it, it seems like such a like good, obvious thing to do, because I remember a lot of those like Vince McMahon segments, but it would be so easy. Like AEW should just tie back into them. Like, they should cut one of their matches every pay-per-view and then just like spend that 10 minutes or whatever, you know, doing stuff like that. Like, what's MJF up to? What's John Moxley up to? Like, keep cutting back to them and something big is going to happen. And WWE too. Like, that's something that I think they should like go back to. Cause yeah, that was a lot of fun, in the Attitude Era and made you really look forward to the main event.
Yeah. And this whole thing, I mean, it was pretty simple. It was just a couple of scenes throughout the course of the night where it was the Bloodline trying to figure out, can we trust this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and then like at the end of the night, they find out that they can, and there's the big embrace, and Sammy's like, Sammy looks like genuinely, like Sammy played it perfectly. Like he looked legit, like emotional in the ring, and ripped off the shirt that said honorary use. And he's like, it's, and I think Michael Cole was like, he's not honorary anymore. Like he's been accepted into the family or whatever. Like it was, he did a really good job with it. Told a really good story. And I will say that with everything else that I saw on the show, it was probably the only thing that told a really, the AJ Styles for Balor match had a pretty good story behind it too. But like there was some other stuff that just felt very rushed and thrown together, like the Ronda Rousey match. And yeah, you know, I thought the women's War Games match was kind of just, hey, go out there and do a ton of spots. But there were certain parts of the show that were really good. So if you were going to watch one thing, I would recommend the men's War Games match. It was good.
I think you've just talked me into it. I might watch that tonight, actually, and you know, watch those segments.
Long. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like a 40-minute match, but you know, they all are. But yeah, it was good. It was good. I think you'll enjoy it. So.
I'm either watching that or the Teddy Hart documentary on Peacock.
Oh, I haven't watched that yet. I have to watch that, too. I have to watch that, too.
Yep.
All right, Andrew. That's all I got.
Same here.
Cool. Well, I apologize to everybody for my audio issues. It'll be fixed soon. Oh, well, one quick – actually, I'll do the little plug in a second because we plug everything at the end of the show. Andrew, where else can people find you?
You can find me. The other podcast I'm on is called The Unexpected Storytelling Podcast. It's a lot different from this one. It's just written, performed, horror, comedy, silliness. But we try to do that every month. We should have one coming up again in a couple of weeks for Christmas. That is The Unexpected Storytelling Podcast.
You can find me on Twitter at Torch McMahon. Email the show, alleliteaftershow@gmail.com. And also, I am going to be Wade's guest on his AEW post show this week. And I will be at home for that with my regular microphone setup. And I will not sound like I am in a spaceship as I do on the show tonight. So that is good. But yeah, that will be Wednesday night after Dynamite. So if you're listening to this before Dynamite, and you want to give us a call, I don't know the number. I should, but I don't. But Wade will give it out when we do the show. So you can call in and talk about what happens on Wednesday right after the show. So that's all we got, I think, for this week, right? We'll see what happens next week.
We'll see what happens.
I'm sure something will. All right, for Andrew, I'm Mike. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
PW Torch is now on YouTube. Check out our relaunched, revamped, and reinvigorated YouTube channel after many years sitting dormant, collecting dust. And now it's back, shinier, brighter. It smells better. It's our PW Torch YouTube channel. And you can check out daily news updates, the weekly fireside chat with Tyler Sage and Zach Haydorn, and my Keller commentaries. The first Keller commentary was my rebooking of WrestleMania 38's lineup. I used all the same wrestlers, but none of the same matches. And I tried to make a better two-night event. Decide for yourself. Go check it out. YouTube.com/PWTorch. And be sure to hit subscribe and like our videos. One benefit of VIP membership is access to our back issue library, contemporaneous, in-depth, insider reporting on pro wrestling in real time over the past 30 plus years. And throughout the year 2022, we're going to begin our march through the year 2002 with back issues posted each week in PDF and all text formats. You can read it in a PDF format with our original magazine slash newsletter style layout on your screen and flip through the pages, or you can read a straightforward all-text format on your phone or tablet or laptop. The back issues early in 2002 covered the arrival of Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hulk Hogan to WWE and all the controversy that came with them, plus my cover story that broke the news on the planned launch by Jerry and Jeff Jarrett of a promotion called TNA. Also, the early 2002 features our 2001 year in review features, including ranking pro wrestling's most influential power brokers and our Torch year-end awards, the year in quotes, and the top 50 stories ranked in order from the year 2001. So go VIP and dive into our back issues. We have most of our back issues available as soon as you sign up with new back issues week by week from the year 2002, one at a time throughout the year 2022. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. PWTorch.com/GoVIP. That's PWTorch.com/GoVIP for full information and our sign-up form. It's more than podcasts. It's an unmatched library of wrestling history spanning more than three decades as soon as you sign up, with more issues added throughout the year.